It's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Americans tend to take Australia for granted. It's so far away and tends to be such a reliable ally. We're more likely to know how politics are playing out in Europe or even in Russia than down under. Many Americans may have gotten a first encounter with Julia Gillard 2 years ago when she was Australia's prime minister and gave a powerful speech in Parliament accusing the leader of the opposition party of sexism.
I will not be lectured about sexism and misogyny by this man. I will not. And the government will not be lectured about sexism and misogyny by this man. Not now, not ever. Because if he wants to know what misogyny looks like in modern Australia, he doesn't need a motion in the House of Representatives. He needs a mirror. That's what he needs.
That speech went viral. 2.6 million views on YouTube so far. Julia Gillard is no longer prime minister, but she still has a lot to say. She's coming to town to speak tomorrow night in the Baltimore Speaker Series presented by Stevenson University. And now she joins me on the phone. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Great to be with you.
Ms. Gillard, I suspect you're tired of having those lines follow you everywhere, but it was an electric moment that tells us something about politics and something about gender relations. First, quickly, the politics. 9 months after that speech, you were no longer prime minister, turned out by your own Labour Party. For American listeners who don't follow Australian politics, is there a connection?
Look, I wouldn't say you can just go from one to the other and say one equals the other. The thing I said on my final evening as Prime Minister when I was in the process of resigning was to say to my nation, gender doesn't explain everything about my Prime Ministership. It doesn't explain nothing about it. There are many shades of grey and we need to have a sophisticated conversation about those shades of grey.
But I should say, and I didn't earlier, that you were the first female Prime Minister of Australia. And what, from your experience, 3 years as Prime Minister, 3 years and 3 days, what is the best way for a woman in power to handle it? You in your recent memoir, talk about stifling lots of upset. You said in that speech, for example, quote, "I was offended when the leader of the opposition stood next to a sign that said, 'Ditch the witch.'" I mean, you let go on a lot of things that you had held your tongue about. Is it generally more effective for a woman in power to hold her tongue or to express her frustration with times she thinks she's being treated unfairly?
Well, I think this is the real complication in all of it. I mean, for me as Prime Minister, I made a bad error, which is I thought that the maximum reaction, positive and negative, to me being the first woman to hold the position, would be at the time that I, you know, originally became Prime Minister. And I thought there would be a big reaction and then that would abate and I would just get on with the job and I would be judged on the basis of the job I did. What actually happened is that the issues around gender got worse the longer I was there as Prime Minister. And it seemed to me that happened because the government I led was doing a series of big changes, many of them controversial, things like putting a price on carbon. And gendered insults like "ditch the witch" became the convenient instrument in the course of some of those hot political debates. So looking back on it now, I wish that I had spoken out earlier. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm in a position where I can pick the moment for every woman as to what is the right time to raise her voice. But my sense is that this is not only for the women themselves in the moment where they feel like they are being treated in a sexist manner, but it's really for all of us to try and have our voices heard when there's sexist treatment. So, for example, if a woman runs for president here in the US, and maybe that's going to happen, if it does happen, I don't think it's the responsibility of that woman to call out sexist treatment. I think it's the responsibility of everyone here to make sure that the presidential contest is about merit, not about gender.
That's former Prime Minister of Australia, Julia Gillard, here on Maryland Morning on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. She's now a senior fellow with the Brookings Institution and chair of the Global Partnership for Education. Ms. Gillard will be in town tomorrow for the Baltimore Speaker Series presented by Stevenson University. I want to ask you about a political issue in this country that I have the impression is nowhere near as controversial in Australia, gun control. Can you give us a brief overview of how guns are regulated in your country?
Yes, I can. This was done, the adoption of very stringent gun laws, by Conservative Prime Minister John Howard during the course of the 1990s. We had had a very bad multiple shooting at one of our tourism places, a place called Port Arthur in Tasmania. A young man with a very high-powered, rapid-firing weapon had killed a number of people. And there was an outcry across Australia. How could this have happened? You know, children have died. What are we going to do now? And there was bipartisan support across the parliament for very stringent gun laws. And what those laws mean is that you can't have a gun in Australia unless you've got proper reason to have one. So if you're a sporting shooter, for example, you can have a gun, but it's got to be kept at your gun club under very secure conditions. Or if you're a farmer and you've got a need for a, you know, to have a weapon to cull stock, then you can have a weapon. But you don't need one of those incredibly high-powered, you know, quickly firing weapons for culling animals. And unless you've got a proper reason to have a gun, you just can't get one.
And I mean, I think of our two countries having, well, I think of Australia as having a strong gun culture as we have in the U.S. Both, like the U.S., Australia has a frontier history. We've had mass shootings like the one you describe. We've had public outrage afterwards like you describe. We haven't had the bipartisan agreement on doing something about it. Why, from your perspective, what's the difference?
Well, I do think in some ways it comes back to this compulsory voting versus voluntary voting question. I think here in American politics, the gun lobby speaks very loudly. It's obviously a very highly motivated set of people, and they can bring out a vote and they can organise in political elections. Whereas in Australia, you know, it isn't about people being brought out to vote. It's really about the views of, you know, very, you know, average, ordinary Australians, good people, who, when they saw a mass casualty shooting attack like the one we suffered in Tasmania, said, enough's enough and we don't want this happening again. And since we've had these very stringent gun laws, we have not had any mass casualty shooting like that one happen in Australia.
Very interesting. I really appreciate your talking to us and look forward to your being here in Baltimore.
I'm looking forward to it. I've never been to Baltimore, so it will be a very special time for me.
Julia Gillard, former Prime Minister of Australia. She's speaking at the Meyerhof tomorrow in the Baltimore Speaker Series presented by Stevenson University. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. After the news on Maryland Morning, our new series on religion, ethics, and theology. Stay with us on 88.1.